بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the abundant blessings that He's given us. And when we think about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we think about what people in the world have or what they don't have, and we have, alhamdulillah, you really start to value those blessings. The blessing of family, the blessing of friends, the blessing of a home, mashallah, the blessing of a masjid. Alhamdulillah, so many things. When you and I start to think, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try to count the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, you would not be able to do so. So we should all say, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So keeping this in mind, mashallah, we have a very wonderful topic today. It's a topic, alhamdulillah, we spoke about before. Many years ago, we also discussed the same thing about the issue of Aqsa and the blessedness of it, mashallah. Because there are many times where this has happened again and again. And unfortunately, the situation will be the same. I went into more detail about it, about how Allah Azza wa Jalla, He grants, how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grants and gives Aqsa to the Muslims when they are obedient to Him. And this is not the time to discuss it. Today, we're going to speak more about the value. But again, inshallah, if anyone wants to refer to that talk, I highly recommend it, inshallah. So you can understand how this Aqsa is actually a jewel, a gem that Allah gives as a gift to the obedient people. And He takes it away from those who are not obedient to Him. May Allah grant us that ta'a, the obedience again, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So keeping this in mind, mashallah, we're going to discuss today about the blessing and virtue of Aqsa. And then we're going to talk about, inshallah, how we can kind of navigate. Because to me, this is the most important discussion. Because many times our hearts are grieving. And we're feeling very saddened. And we're feeling this type of state. Like someone came to me and said, you know, Molana, like I'm not able to like eat and drink. I just feel so bothered by what's happening, you know. And I want to remind everyone that this is a blessed state to be in. Okay, people don't recognize, not all sadness, not all grief is a bad thing, right? Because that grief for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a good thing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever the mu'minun ka jasadin ra wahid, that the believers are like one body. So inishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kullu, inishtaka ra'su ishtaka kullu. If his eye hurts, his whole body hurts. And if his head hurts, his whole body hurts. So the fact that you feel something in your heart and you're not feeling settled is a sign of iman. Does that make sense? You would not feel that unless there was iman in the heart. So you should say alhamdulillah, but this is good. Unless a person is diseased, like people have diseased hearts. So the heart that we see, some people that have no concern whatsoever, they can go on their life as if it's not even managing. Subhanallah, like your Muslim brother and sister is being killed right now and you're just being okay. Like Allahu Akbar. So keep this in mind. Alhamdulillah, it's a good hal, it's a good state to be in. And this is very good because of the virtue and the blessing of this place called Aqsa. The Quran describes it in very many places, mashallah. There are many ways we can talk about it. I think we should start off with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Sahabi radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "Ya Rasulullah, ayu masjid bunya awwala?" That, "O Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam, which masjid was built first?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responds in such a beautiful way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "The first masjid that was built was Masjidul Haram." And then the Prophet ﷺ, out of his own mahabba and love, he says the second one that is built. The Prophet ﷺ already tells him the answer. The answer he wanted was the first one. And thereafter, the Prophet ﷺ goes and expands that further. He says, "Thummal Masjidul Aqsa." So the Prophet ﷺ says, then the next one built after is Masjidul Aqsa. Then the Sahabi asks such an interesting question. He says that, "Kam umran baynahuma?" How many years are between them two? So the Prophet ﷺ said, 40 years are between them. And the ulama write, this is a profound number that the Prophet ﷺ has told us about and how Allah has constructed these masajid. Because 40 years is the same number of time, the same number of years that Allah sends on a Nabi on. At the age 40, Allah sends a prophet, right? At age 40, Allah gives prophethood to someone. So keeping this in mind, this is a beautiful reminder and wisdom, because Masjidul Aqsa is the markaz, it is the headquarter and center for all the Anbiya alayhimus salam. As if from that 40, Allah is telling us that this place is going to be blessed for alameen. So then thereafter the question comes,
when is this, Maulana, you're saying it's built 40 years after, but if you're saying Ibrahim alayhis salam, who built, who revived or brought up the foundation again of Masjid al-Haram, then the 40, it would be Ishaq alayhis salam, but the numbers don't add up, like, subhanAllah, if you try to work it out, it's not working out well. So the ulama have a back and forth and a discussion about what is the time the Prophet is referring to. And so the ulama, at least the opinion is that this is not talking about Ibrahim alayhis salam or Sulaiman alayhis salam, who were the revivers of that area later on. This is talking about the time of Adam alayhis salam. From the time of Adam alayhis salam, this is what I'm telling you historically, and from the Quran and Sunnah, from the divine blessing that Allah has bestowed on this area, from the beginning of humanity, when Adam alayhis salam was here, first the angels outlined for him where is the Kaaba going to be. After the angels outlined the Kaaba area, thereafter the angels said, oh, Adam alayhis salam, this is where Masjid al-Aqsa will be, so you build that as well. So then he goes and constructs the foundation for both of these lands. This is why in the Quran it's described in such high, lofty terms. Such high, lofty terms. Subhanalladhi asra bi 'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu. We have, Allah Ta'ala says, to Masjid al-Aqsa, we took the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We took him from this land of Masjid al-Haram all the way to Masjid al-Aqsa. This is very amazing. I want everyone to note what Allah says. Allah says, alladhi barakna hawlahu. We blessed the area around Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay? He did not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say the same thing about Masjid al-Haram. Because Masjid al-Haram is in a desert. Masjid al-Haram is in a desert. Okay? Allah does conceal that area till the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's coming. So no one could ever touch that area. It would be a pure, pristine area. No one could even know it. But there's not even water there, right? Ma'us sama, like, where does the water come from? It comes from Zamzam, right? They literally call the Arab people, they call them the people from the water of the sky, because no one was living there like that. But what about Masjid al-Aqsa? I haven't been there. May Allah take us there. Okay? It is the third haram, right? It is the third haram, the third sanctuary that Allah has made in this world, mashallah. After Masjid al-Haram to Masjid Nabawi to the Masjid al-Aqsa, right? This is a beautiful area. This entire area is full of greenery. Allah describes in the Quran, Wattini was zaytun, by the figs and the olives. They say that this is referring, when you look at Wattini was zaytun, Waturi Sinin, Wahad al Baladi al Amin, by the figs and the olives, Waturi Sinin, by Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. Turi Sinin is Mount Sinai. Wahad al Baladi al Amin, and by this safe, this secure city. The ulama say, Wattini was zaytun is referring to the area of Masjid al-Aqsa. Waturi Sinin is referring to the mountain which Musa alayhi salam talked to Allah Ta'ala. Wahad al Baladi al Amin is referring to Makkatul Mukarramah, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam city. In other words, Masjid al-Aqsa is the area of the Anbiya. Mount Sinai is the area of Musa alayhi salam. And Masjid al-Haram is where Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Okay? When you go there, my brother told me when he went there, because it's Mubarak to pray in there. Right? So he went there, mashallah, he said this area is extremely gorgeous. It's full of greenery. It's just a green land. You're just seeing the barakah. You can smell and feel the barakah while you're there. Why? Because this is not the markaz, not only the markaz of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. It is the maqabir, it is the place of burial for 70 or so of the Anbiya. The Prophets alayhi wasalam are very much buried there. If you go there, they have a site, a maqbura of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi wasalam. We don't mention this enough. You have to think about the Quran to see where Masjid al-Aqsa is in the Quran. If you look at Maryam alayhi wasalam, that room that she was in making ibadah, which masjid was that, brothers and sisters, elders in Islam? Masjid al-Aqsa. She's in that area and she's making dua, she's making all these things. Zakariya alayhi salam, the barakah of Maryam alayhi salam, so palpable. Like you can feel the barakah of her, because when Zakariya alayhi salam comes in the room, he cries to bring food for her. And what does he find? She has all these fruits, ajib fruits, like Indian mangoes and like, mashallah, and Bengali, mashallah, this type of thing, and this type of thing, mashallah. And I'm just joking, obviously not. We're not that blessed, mashallah. We try our best, alhamdulillah. But she has all these fruits. Anna laki hadha, where are you getting this from? Qalatu min indillah. This is from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha. Allah gives risk to whoever he wants. Bi ghairi hisab. No number. You can't tell Allah to stop giving risk. Allah gives whoever he wants. Right? May Allah grant us, ya Rab. The thing is that hunalika da'a, after Zakariya alayhi salam notices the barakah in that room. When he notices the barakah in that room, hunalika da'a Zakariya Rabba. Right then and there, Zakariya alayhi salam raises his hand. Nabi of Allah raises his hand and says, ya Allah, grant me a pious child. And Allah grants him it because of that dua there. This is what I'm trying to make everyone understand here. This blessed place is amazing. It's amazing. It is the markaz, this headquarters of Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Ibrahim alayhi as-salam moves there. You have to think, subhanAllah, how deep is this place? It is so Mubarak. Where was my brothers and sisters in Islam when Ibrahim alayhi as-salam moves there? Where was Ismail alayhi as-salam born? Think about it. Where was he born? In the area of Palestine. Okay, the Arabs, the source of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lineage and nasab comes from Ismail alayhi salam, and he is from that Mubarak area. Ishaq alayhi salam is from there. Yaqub alayhi salam is from there. Yusuf alayhi salam is from there. That's why these Anbiya alayhi salam, they wanted to be buried there, to the point that it's mentioned by Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. They didn't want to be buried in Egypt. They said, once we pass away, move our bodies to the area of Masjid Al-Aqsa. We want to be buried there because that is the place where the Anbiya alayhi salam were located. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the land of the mahshar. This is the land of the resurrection. All the people will be gathered to that area of Masjid Al-Aqsa, and everyone will raise from there on the day of judgment. My beautiful brothers and elders in Islam, to the point that the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says that that area of Masjid Al-Aqsa, again, it's not just people, they have an idea of a masjid in their head, right? You think of like the purple dome, or maybe you think about the golden dome. This is not. This is one spot in Masjid Al-Aqsa, okay? Masjid Al-Aqsa is the whole entire plot. There's a whole entire plot. There are many masajid within that plot. There are many wudu areas. There are many libraries. It's a whole location that you can go. It's a huge area. And just to get a perspective, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, of course. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feek, mashallah. Of course, not inside, of course. MashaAllah. The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he goes for the Isra and he travels over there and he prays in there to lead the Anbiya alayhi wasallam. If you're thinking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that time, he led over, it's mentioned one weak narration that the Anbiya alayhi wasallam's number is over 124,000. Okay? You can't fit that in a small, little tiny masjid, right? You're going to need the whole area. The Anbiya alayhi wasallam praying behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the barak of that location. And the barak of a location, Allah says, spreads throughout the entire world. To the point that the Prophet ﷺ said at the end of times, Kharabu Baitul Maqdis, Kharabu Yathrib, or Kharabu Yathrib, right? The Prophet ﷺ continues and he says, the destruction of Baitul Maqdis will be destruction of Medina. Right? The Prophet ﷺ says thereafter, and then he says, after the destruction of Medina will come the Khuruj of the Malhama, will be the emergence of the war. And the Khuruj al Malhama will be the Fathu Qustuntuniyah, the conquest of Constantinople, the Fathu Qustuntuniyah, Khuruj ad-Dajjal, right? And the conquest of Constantinople will be the emergence of Dajjal. What I want everyone to note is that it's connected to the end of times. Where does Isa alayhi salam come down, my brothers and sisters in Islam? He comes down in that area, mashallah. Isa alayhi salam comes down there. That's why his markaz, his headquarters, is Masjid al-Aqsa. He makes it as his location. The ulama and the Muslims have traditionally never made that their center. Because they said this is the center of Anbiya. No one has the right to make that a center. They made Medina their center. They made Baghdad their center. But they never made Masjid al-Aqsa because this is for Anbiya alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam will make this place into a markaz, right? And so this is why the Prophet alayhi salam, he praised it. He said, Tuba, the blessing of Aqsa has spread into the land that affected all of Sham. Sham is the area that includes Lebanon, it includes Syria, it includes Jordan, it includes that entire area. This is all these all lines. They're all lines. They all eat the same food. SubhanAllah, that's how you know they're all the same people. Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, you all eat the same food, right? You see the rotis on the Pakistani side, and then the chawals on the Bangladeshi side, and the Indians in Majma' al-Bahrain, you eat both sides, mashallah, SubhanAllah, it's all the same food, And even the area of Sham, it's all the same. All culture, everything's the same. The same. Who made these borders? Obviously, it wasn't us, because the entire area is Mubarak, right? It's blessed. There's like madaris that were built there. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. And mashallah, we get, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, we get so many ulama in that area of Sham. It's a Mubarak area. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Tuba li Sham, glad tidings for Sham, blessings for Sham. May Allah give more and more khayr to Sham, right? Allah, the Prophet used to make dua that he said that Iman is in Sham. He said that you're going to find Iman in the area of Sham. The Prophet ﷺ even said further, ﷺ, he said that that when the Ahlul Sham become fasid, the hadith, right? That when the Ahlul Sham become corrupted, then you can see the corruption of the world. La ilaha illallah, they're so important. La tazalu ta'ifatun min ummati mansurin. The Prophet ﷺ said, though, that you'll find that throughout every single generation, there will be a group of people that will remain in Sham and they'll be blessed, they'll be continuously helped by Allah Ta'ala. This is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak words. And he says, within that area, they will remain there. And no one will hurt them. La yaduru man khalafahum. Whoever opposes them will not affect them. They'll remain there. They say, Ya Rasulullah, who is the people that are there? The Prophet said, whoever is in the area of Baitul Maqdis, wa man hawlahu, and whoever is around that area. This is why you find, mashallah, the Palestinian people, the people, mashallah, that are remaining there in Gaza and in the West Bank and all those areas, Aqsa, are Mubarak people because of the fact their iman is so qawi. They're not leaving. People are asking this question, why doesn't this country take refugees? I said, did you ever ask the refugee if he wanted to be a refugee? Did you ever ask the person himself if he wanted to leave his country? If you told me to leave my country, you think I want to do it? And the people that are living there have such iman and quwwah. They are people that are doing, like the hadith says, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, those who remain in that area, sabiran, patiently, are doing ribat. They're defending the borders of Islam. They're defending the borders of Islam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. That's why those people are mubarak. You look at their iman and their taqwa, how much iman Allah has put into their hearts. You and I make dua that we can have that level of iman. Because they are praying janazah after janazah, praying salah after salah, doing this and this and this. Yet, subhanAllah, their loves, they're just one loves. Their kalima is just one kalima. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is enough for us and to Him. Wa ni'mal wakil. What a great protector is Allah. We've seen this, subhanAllah, picture after picture. And I tell people, and I advise you not to look at too many of them. Only and unless you need to incite and increase your iman. Because too much looking at these things is not good for you. You're not the media. You're not a news reporter. Your job isn't to spread this kalam all over the entire dunya. Your job is, mashallah, to make dua for them. And sometimes, subhanAllah, we'll be scrolling like this. The guy's like on his bed like this, the whole night, just going and going, looking at picture after picture. What are you doing? What are you doing? Is this going to help any people in Sham? Is it going to help the people in Jerusalem? Is it going to help the people in Gaza? It's not going to help anyone. All it's doing is feeding your own entertainment. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make yourself get so depressed that you don't have enough courage or himma to get up for salah. You look at it for a little bit to make the tears come. Then you make dua, Ya Rabbal Alameen. What kind of picture we saw? That building toppled over. And on top of the building toppled over another one. So you see this huge building in the middle of two other buildings, just completely slanted. And what do you find? The prayers are praying salah jama'ah underneath that. SubhanAllah. What do you find? That a woman, subhanAllah, she says that when she heard that her husband has become a martyr, she says, Alhamdulillah, ustushhid. He's become shaheed fi sabilillah ta'ala. What do you find, subhanAllah, that once the Al-Ahli hospital was bombed, the Muslims at that area, they go and say, when the doctor was telling them that this has been done by this, this, and this, this, and this, they say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. They're all shouting this, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. You're seeing the iman. If you watch video after video, you'll see that the raiha, the fragrance of the shaheed at his death, they say, we are smelling the fragrance of the martyrs. The bodies are giving off this beautiful aroma, this fragrance. Because this is the haqiqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words. That the blood of a shaheed is musk. You're on the day of judgment when people will come, they'll all come good-bodied, healthy body, everything will be fine, but like it was normal. But the shaheed will come with his wounds. Why does the shaheed come with his wounds? Because on Qiyamah, that is his shahada. Because on Qiyamah, that is his testimony. That before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those wounds will say, Ya Allah, this is what he suffered for my sake. This is why, subhanAllah, they have such iman, pakka iman, strong iman in their hearts. They have such istiqamah and tawakkul. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept him, Ya Rab. And this is what you and I need to get from this, that a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a test from Allah, what you're making sabr of, is only going to take out what's in the heart, brothers and sisters in Islam. A test is a test. Okay? A test is a test. Like a doctor does a test. When I go to the doctor, he takes my blood. He takes the blood to do what? To hurt me? To test me. Right? He puts the thing up my nose to see if I have COVID, and he shoves it so hard to see if my brain has COVID too, you know? He shoves it so hard, subhanAllah. He goes in there and then he sees, like, okay, let's test if you have it or not. Right? You go through the difficult test, right? Just so what? So that the doctor can see what's there. And I want you all to remember, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you, all he's doing is taking out what's inside your heart already. All he's doing is taking out what's inside your heart already. Iblis was Iblis from the day he started. Because Iblis, no matter what dhikr he was doing, what ibadah was doing, what worship he's doing, one narration mentions there was no place in this earth except Iblis made sajda on it. You know, this type of abid. But when he was told, submit to Allah, listen to Allah, obey Allah, and make sajda before Adam alayhi salam, that's when the Iblis, his heart actually showed. He said, I'm not making sajda, I don't listen to you, Allah. So it wasn't him, really, that it was a worshipper. He was someone who was disobedient to Allah. Allah just brought it out. That's what Allah does, says in the Quran. Alif Lam Mim. Ahasiban nas ayutraku ayakulu amanna wahum la yuftanun. Did people really think? Did really people think that they could just say we believe in Allah and they will not be tested? Read it. Read the Quran. This is not a secret in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, I'm going to test you. And I'm going to see. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ بَرِدَ وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. It's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will surely وَلَقَدَ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Don't focus on him. It's okay, man. You guys are all looking at flies. It's like Imam Malik, rahimullah. Imam Malik one time was giving his dars of hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So Malik, rahimullah, is talking about dars of hadith. And then what happens in Medina? An elephant comes. An elephant comes, right? It's a narrated in the books. So when the elephant came, there's no elephants in Medina, right? So all the kids, all the students got up and started running to the door and to go see the elephant. There was only one kid who sat down. His name is Yahya ibn Abi Yahya ibn Kathir, right? Yahya is sitting down. Malik says to him, oh, Yahya, because he's from like Andalus. He comes from like Spain. He came all the way to Medina, right? So he's sitting there and Malik's like, don't you want to go see the elephant? And he goes and says, I didn't come to Medina to look at elephants. I came to learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So he focused. Allah Ta'ala gave him such barakah that the Muwatta that you and I read today, the Muwatta Malik, is actually from the narration of Yahya. He narrates that book. Allah Ta'ala loved him so much, so he gave him that barakah, mashallah. May Allah accept, okay? Don't look at this one kid in our class, he kept looking at flies. I said, Beta, what are you doing? SubhanAllah, the teacher right before you, pay attention. May Allah grant us understanding. So having said that, Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam Muhammad, Allah Ta'ala says, we have surely tested those who came before you. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Allah Ta'ala just wants to see who is truthful. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah wants to see who's a liar. That's all it is. People are thinking that a test happens in their life and Allah Ta'ala hates them. It's nothing like that. All you're just saying is that you said La ilaha illallah. You said La ilaha illallah. So if you said La ilaha illallah, it should be true. It should be true that you believe that Allah Ta'ala is the controller, Allah Ta'ala is the doer, Allah Ta'ala is the provider. So then when Allah Ta'ala takes money, what happens? I think it vanished. When Allah takes away the wealth, what happens? When Allah takes away the child, what happens? When Allah shows you musibah, what happens? Then the iman, it just disappears. As if it wasn't there. People said they worship one Allah. But when musibah comes down, something Allah takes away that it belongs to Him. That's Allah's. What Allah kahe, it's not ours. It's not ours. Hamaratun nahi, it's not ours. It's Allah's. When Allah takes what belongs to Him, we say, Ya Allah, why did you do? Where did the iman go, brothers and sisters in Islam? Was it really there in the heart? All the test did was bring out what was inside. All the test did was bring out what was inside. And this is the thing. The test Allah Ta'ala says is that I've tested people from before. You are no exception, my ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ummah from before have been tested and tested and tested. Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu was such a man who was tested to such a degree at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what happens. We forget about history. We look at what's happening now, and 5 seconds or 5 minutes, we're looking at what's happening now, and we forget what happened for history. Historically speaking, what's happened to the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu comes. Khabbab is someone who used to be beaten and lashed and he was brutalized by the Qurayshis. They hurt him so bad, they used to take him and drag him over hot coals to the point that the only thing that doused and took away the coals, the only thing that finished the fire and the coals, was the fat on his back. Khabbab radiallahu anhu went through such difficulty. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. He says, Ya Rasulullah, he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing what? He's sitting in the shade of the Kaaba. So Mawlana sahab, kya kar rahe? Right? You go and say, what is Mawlana sahab doing? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, ala tad'u lana, ala tastaghfiru lana. Aren't you going to make dua for us? Aren't you going to make istighfar for us? Aren't you going to seek some help for us? Ya Rasulullah, what are you doing? He's getting so upset, he can't even keep his mind straight, radiallahu anhu. So he says these things to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah looks at his position. He says, Ya Khabbab, there was once a time where before, in the previous zamana, where people would come and they would say, disbelieve in Allah. And there were people that would say, we will not disbelieve in Allah. And so what would happen is they would bury them underneath the ground and they would bring a saw in front of their head and try to cut them in half. And they used to bring rakes and claw them on their face and rip off the flesh from their face. And then Rasulullah said, that did not stop them from believing in Allah. And Rasulullah said, Wallahi, 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 a day will come where you can travel from Yemen all the way to Mecca without any fear of nothing. Not even a wolf. You know, he said, only the thing you have to fear is that a wolf will eat a sheep. That's all you have to worry about. Rasulullah said, a time will come. You and I are living in such afia. Wallahi, we're living in such afia. We are going through small little things. But subhanAllah, everyone abandons and gives it up. And so this is the thing. Allah Ta'ala says, it's an open secret in the Quran. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we will test you in your wealth and your health and your children and your fruits and everything, Allah Ta'ala says. And Allah Ta'ala says, after that, we'll give you some fear. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, glad tidings to the patient. الَّذِينِ إِذَا صَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, when anything that comes from Allah, they go and say, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. At the end of the day, where are you going, brothers and sisters in Islam? Did you come to the dunya to live forever? Did you come here to be here forever? No one came to this dunya to be here forever. We all came with a passport ready to leave this world. You just don't know when you're going to go, brothers and sisters in Islam. You and I are waiting at the airport, watching the flight times. That's all we're doing. And finally, one day will come where my flight will be there. And then Shaquille will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone will go to Allah azza wa jalla. That's the reality of the dunya. And so if you are tested by Allah ta'ala, Allah takes the test and He gives you things in return. Things you would never trade for the entire world, brothers and sisters in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tries to, you know, his job is a Nabi to tell us, listen, be patient. You know, my child, you know, Yahya gets a little cranky. He goes and says, Daddy, I want to go one more time on the swing. Swing was so much fun. And I look at him, Beta, it's already 5 o'clock. We got to go to Maktab. He said, no, I want to go one more time on the swing, right? And then he starts to cry and panic and get angry and all these things. I said, Beta, trust me, going to Maktab is much better than this. Trust me, right? He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He's a little child. What is he supposed to do? Sometimes we act like children, don't we? Sometimes we act like children. Allah, why'd you take my money? Allah, why'd you take my child? Allah, why'd you take my car? Yeah, Allah, I wanted to marry Rebecca. What's up, Allah? Why would you do that, Allah? Like, subhanAllah, we talk so rude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, what do we talk to Allah that I like? Like it's customer service. You know, what is that girl comes into Starbucks? Excuse me, the pumpkin spice wasn't exactly right. So can I please, you know, you can take the latte back and can you just put one more pump in there, please? You know, so we talk to Allah that like that. Like, Allah, you know, you gave me like $350, but if you gave me like $355, so it can really cover the rent for today, you know? Ya Rab, you know, this is not customer service with Allah, brothers and sisters in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, I'm the master, you're the slave. I am the master, you're the abd. And Allah will teach us sometimes what it means to be abd. And so you get this from hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that's only going to raise your status before Allah. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person will go through trials and trial upon trial until they come on qiyamah. When they come to qiyamah, they see that they have no record of sins left. No more guna left in their book of deeds. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we committed such haram. We've done such haram. We will never show our parents what haram we've done. On the day of judgment, because of a trial we went through, Allah that will wipe out all the sins. On Qiyamah, you'll be looking through your kitab. Where did the sins go? Because you're nervous and scared about the guna. But you won't find them. Because why? Allah said, I gave you this trial. You passed it. So there's no more sin anymore. Some people, subhanAllah, Allah will raise them in darajat. A person says, Ya Allah, make me a neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. I want to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. May Allah make us that. But subhanAllah, we don't pray anything. We don't do any sadaqah. We don't do anything. Barely our five times is on time. May Allah grant us tawfiq. We don't do a lot of things. So, but Allah that loves us so much. So He tells the angels, look, His good deeds is going to add up to here. So give Him a trial. You know, make Him lose like a girlfriend or something. You know, make Him like lose that Discord channel. Make Him get banned on Twitter or something like that. You know, make him like, you know, let him lose the Roblox or the whatever game he's playing so that he feels a little upset. Make him lose a little bit of money. Take a child from him, no problem, right? So he goes through these trials. He goes through these trials. You know, let him have a really angry HIFS teacher. And so the HIFS teacher just keeps yelling at him and don't, to the point that all his dot falls out, you know? You know, Subhanallah, gets yelled and yelled and yelled. And subhanAllah, he's just sitting there like, oh, what did I do? You know, what did I do, right? So he's just like sitting there, but he's being patient. You know, you go through these things. Or he gives you that wife that just keeps saying, like, why didn't you get the milk yet? Like, honey, the milk is coming. Make dua, okay? Allah will bring it down, inshallah. You know, I'm not Maryam. It's not going to just come, you know, subhanAllah. Like, you know, you have these difficult times in life. These things happen. But why do they happen? Because Allah will tell the angels that, you know, give him this and give him this and give him this because he wants a higher place in Jannah. And I want him to go to that place in Jannah. So he comes on Qiyamah. This is the crazy part. He comes on Qiyamah and all the totals are brought. He sees the total of this guy. He gets like 1,050,000 points. This man was praying every salah, every sunnah, every nafil in the book, mashallah. And he sees, alhamdulillah, his grand total is like 5,000 trillion or something, right? And he's looking at that number like unbelievable. He's like, oh man, that guy goes to Jannatul Firdaws, mashallah, right? And then he looks at those numbers, like 500,000, like barely on the leaderboards, you know? He barely on the leaderboards. He's so low on the scale here. And then he looks at his number and he goes and says, man, I wish I could have, right? And then suddenly he sees this total going up from 500 to 600 to 700 to 800 to 1,000 to 10,000, you know, to 20 billion, 20 trillion. And he just sees the number going up. He says, Ya Allah, I didn't do all that. Ya Allah, I didn't do all that. Where is that coming from? And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, authentic hadith. Rasulullah ﷺ says, Allah Ta'ala tells the person, it's because you went through these trials, you passed them. So I gave you a higher place in Jannah. I gave you a higher place in Jannah, subhanAllah. Just because of a trial that people go through. People, subhanAllah, will get forgiveness of sins. People will get raised in darajat. And subhanAllah, if Allah Ta'ala loves you, this is the thing. Wallahu ma'as sabireen. If you want to experience the closeness with Allah Ta'ala, you're only going to experience it when you're in sabr, brothers and sisters in Islam. That closeness that you get, the tears that come out, the feeling that you come out, that you get to feel closeness with Allah, that Allah is our goal. La ilaha illallah. We want Allah. The ma'iyat with Allah Ta'ala only comes from a person who's sabir. You will feel the closeness with Allah Azza wa Jal by being a person of patience. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "May yuridillahu bihi khayran yusib minhu." Whoever Allah Ta'ala intends good from, he tries this person. That's why the best people who are tested in the world, who are the ones who are most tested in this dunya, brothers and sisters in Islam? Who are they? The Anbiya, the Prophets alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam is spending 40 days in the belly of the whale. Yunus alayhi salam is spending so much time in the belly of the whale, just in there, not doing, there's nothing to do. You're just roaming around in the stomach. What are you supposed to do? What are you feeling? What is the emotion? What is the understanding? All these things are happening, right? So then what happens? Yunus alayhi salam, in the time of the belly of the whale, what does he do? Nada fi dhulumat, Allah ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. He notices and he says, Ya Allah, I'm in here for a reason. I'm in the belly of the whale for a reason. So I say, there's none worthy of worship but you. La ilaha illa anta subhanak. Inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. I was the one who did wrong. Yunus alayhi salam, he learns a sabak. This is what happens. We get hit and hit and hit by Allah. Like Allah that keeps, you know, just oh, his teacher, Kitar, right? The his teacher keeps hitting and hitting and hitting, right? And then the kid is still like, what am I supposed to do? Right? What am I supposed to do? The guy tells him, do like upper betak, do like 5 million of them. He's like, what am I supposed to do? He still doesn't get it. You know, he complains. He tells his parents what he's like, what am I supposed to do? Still doesn't know what to do. Subhanallah, what are you supposed to do now? The betta's like him out, you know? He's like a donkey. He doesn't seem to understand anything. Subhanallah, no matter how much you hit him, the donkey doesn't seem to get it, right? This is what happens sometimes. May Allah to give us understanding that the teacher just wants you to memorize. Sit down and read your Quran. That's all the teacher wants. You'll get better. You just have to open the freaking books. May Allah grant us understanding. Keeping this in mind, I apologize. Keeping this in mind. We go through sabak from Allah Ta'ala. When you get a test from Allah, it is a divine sabak from Allah. Allah wants you to learn something. You're arrogant. Break your arrogance. You're stingy. Give sadaqah, right? You are a person who's rude. You're be-namazi. You don't pray. Pray. You don't make dua. Make dua. What is Allah making us go through the test for? So you can learn something, brothers and sisters in Islam. What happens? Allah gives us a musibah and we go and say, Allah, what? I don't know what to do, Allah. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Raise your hands, make dua, and say, Allah, tell me what to do. Okay? This is what you and I need to do. Yunus alayhi salam, he teaches us from the sabak. La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Allah, I was the one who did wrong. Allah, I asked for forgiveness and I did something wrong. The 40 days in that whale, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala blesses and honors Yunus alayhi salam. When he goes back to give da'wah to his community and his ummah, this is one of the only ummahs in all of history that when the punishment of Allah Ta'ala was about to come, they made such tawbah before Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala lifted the punishment completely. The punishment never came down on the people of Yunus alayhi salam. He goes back, and then what does the Quran tell us? He goes to them and gives da'wah to 100,000 people. 100,000 people accept Islam. This is Yunus alayhi salam. Who is another person in the Quran? Musa alayhi salam. Oh, people don't understand. People are looking at this time and they're saying, we have such terrible time. What a big musibah. You'd have never met a Fir'aun. Maybe our wives know a Fir'aun. But like, you never met a Fir'aun until you know what the Fir'aun of Musa alayhi salam was. Musa alayhi salam's Fir'aun was a real Fir'aun. He was a real Fir'aun. This man, he controlled the whole country. He had police watching the occupied people of Bani Israel. And he watched and he goes in and he looks at their houses. He storms in whenever a baby is born. If the year of killing of babies, he'll kill babies. Intentionally, indiscriminately kill baby after baby after baby. This is Fir'aun. There's no outside help. You and I are asking, going to appeal, making a protest, asking help from here and here and here. Musa alayhi salam, his people have no one to ask. There is no country to come and help against Fir'aun. There's no one they can make and say, please, we have this guzarish, we have this request from you. No one. Bani Israel is just there. But Musa alayhi salam teaches them and says, Ya qawmi, in kuntum amantum billah, fa'alayhi tawakkalu in kuntum muslimin. Oh people, if you truly believe in Allah, Musa alayhi salam says, if you truly believe in Allah, then trust Allah if you are believers. And so the people, they say, yes, oh Musa alayhi salam, we believe in Allah. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan liqawmi adh-dhalimin wa najjina bi rahmatika min al-qawmi al-kafirin. They start making fervent, strong dua. At that moment, they say, there's no malja, no refuge, no door. This is the thing. Allah closes all doors around us because He keeps one door open, the door of Allah. Run to the door of Allah. Cry to the door of Allah. Move to the door of Allah. Musa alayhi salam, he goes and tells his people, you have no other door, no darwaza, nothing is open. You're not open for you except the door of Allah. Go to Allah Ta'ala. So they're making dua. Fir'aun sees this and he says, no more dua. Fir'aun says, no more dua. So they used to make dua in their temples. Fir'aun demolishes all the temples. He destroys all the temples. And now they have no place of worship. The Jews had, they only could worship in the temples. Do you want to know what happened after this? وَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّأَ لِقَوْمِكَ بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Allah Ta'ala says, how could someone come between me and my slave? Allah says, Fir'aun thinks he can come between me and my slave. Allah says, Musa, go tell your people, now all their homes are masajid. Now if they want to call me, they make dua from their homes. Let's see if Fir'aun try to stop that. This is what Musa alayhi salam did. He raises his hands and says, Ya Rabbi, innaka atayta Fir'auna wa mala'ahu zinatan wa amwalan fil hayati dunya. Ya Allah, you gave Fir'aun the extravagance, the beauties, the wealth of everything. The money you and I are using today, the gold and silver you and I are using today, is probably the wealth of Fir'aun. I'll be real honest here, okay? This man had wealth. They said from all the mountains, from Egypt all the way to Abyssinia, all the way into Africa, all the mountains that are filled in gold and silver and jewels and emeralds, all of them belong to Fir'aun. This man had massive wealth he had. And Allah, Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam goes and says, Allah, you gave him all this wealth. Rabbana liyudillu an sabirik. Ya Allah, so that people can get misguided from the path. Rabbana atmis ala amwalihim. Washdud ala qulubi. Allah, obliterate his wealth. And Allah Ta'ala, harden his heart, be strong on his heart. Fala yu'minu, he's not going to believe. Hatta yara al azab al aleem, until a painful punishment comes to him. Musa alayhi salam makes such a strong dua. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala opens the doors of ijabah, of answering to Musa alayhi salam. When Musa alayhi salam makes a dua, Allah ta'ala says, Qad ujibat da'watukuma, your dua has been answered, Musa. Fastaqima, stay firm. They say that between the dua of Musa alayhi salam and between Fir'aun being destroyed was 40 years. 40 long years after that. So what happens? Fir'aun is finally brought to the ocean. In front of the ocean, he jumps in thinking that he split the sea. What a crazy guy he was. And then the water comes around him and finally submerges him and destroys him. So Allah Ta'ala says, O Musa, now travel with your people. We're going to give you a blessed land. Mubawwa Sidiq, a place of truthfulness, the place of Masjid al-Aqsa. This is what Allah Ta'ala says about Musa alayhi salam. What else do we find in the Quran? The Ahzab come before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ahzab will come before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ahzab are all the Arab tribes that are around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They equal in total about 10,000 soldiers. 10,000 soldiers come to the little city of Medina. The little city of Medina, which has roughly 1,000 soldiers or 3,000 soldiers or so. No one can find an army of 10,000. So what happens is they start to panic and start to get worried. The hypocrites are going crazy. How can we fight 10,000 people? Who can fight 10,000 people? It's insane. So they come to the Prophet ﷺ. They come to the Sahaba. قَالَ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. The people have gathered before you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ. You should be afraid of them. You should be afraid of them. Now the Sahaba, they look at the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, and they go and say, قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ. They said, this is what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have promised us. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ. Allah and His Messenger have spoken the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. Only thing the trial made them get is better iman. stronger iman, an increasing iman, and made them submit even more. And this is the thing that we're missing, brothers and sisters in Islam. When you and I are looking at the Palestinian people, people ask this question. They say that, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? I said, don't talk to me. Talk to your Rabb. Why are you asking me? You act like I know the answers. Rabbul Alameen knows what these people will get in the hereafter. Rabbul Alameen knows what they'll get on Qiyamah. Rabbul Alameen knows their place in Jannah. And Allah knows best what is best for His slaves. Don't ask me the questions. Go ask Rabbul Alameen. When you raise your hands in dua, just ask Allah, give me that iman. Because I wish I had that iman. Because that iman is so pakka, so strong. This is what the Muslims are missing and lacking today. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the time of Rasulullah, trial after trial, sabr after sabr, they went through it. And they went through the divine training and the classroom. And subhanAllah, their iman was cemented and firm. And so the sabr, mashallah, it became their mizaj. It became who they were. No matter what trial came before them, they could handle every single trial now. Allah made them strong. This is the thing. Allah does not test weak people. Allah does not test weak people. If you're weak, you will not be tested. If you're strong, Allah will see how much you can lift. That's what it is. People will lose family, health, wealth, all these things. If you're a strong person, you will pass, inshallah. And when the sabr becomes ghalib on your heart, mashallah, you will be with Allah Ta'ala every moment. Your whole life will be with Allah. Your whole life will be with Allah. You'll never forget Allah. You'll love Allah. You'll move with Allah. You'll walk with Allah. You'll talk with Allah. Your whole life will be ma'as sabirin. Allah is going to be with you. Why would you trade that for anything, brothers and sisters in Islam? People are going to go through trials. You have to go through these things. That's why we find that the Muslims, again and again, when it comes to the area of Quds, the area of Jerusalem and Palestine, they lose the area. They lose the area. And then subhanAllah, you get such a sabir person. You know, it came to them at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. They get the area of Quds, they get the area of Masjid al-Aqsa, etc. And then they lose that area again. When they lose the area, Allah that creates a man, He makes a human being called Salahuddin Ayyubi. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala comes. This man is formidable. He's a lion, he's a warrior. He's an amazing person. But along with that, he is sabir. He makes such dua, such strong dua before Allah ta'ala. Such an amazing person he was, Salahuddin Ayyubi. They talk about him on the battlefield. He loved hadith. Salahuddin Ayyubi loved hadith. He used to go around to his soldiers at nighttime. Because this is what people forget. People think, I'm going to be the muscular guy. I'm going to take like pictures on Instagram and just show off how big my bicep is. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready, brother. Jihad, brother. Jihad. This is not building jihad, brother. Brother in Islam. If you're not waking for tahajjud, you got nothing to talk about right now. I'm telling you straight. People, subhanAllah, they think they're strong. They don't wake up for tahajjud. They are so weak in their iman. We have no idea of nafl, sunnah, or sadaqah. What iman do we have, brothers and Islam? Criticize yourself, look down on yourself, and that way you'll develop. Strength is in vain tahajjud. Salahuddin Ayyubi comes at the nighttime. He sees all of his soldiers reading Quran. And they're reading Quran. He says, I want to listen. So he listens to Jews after Jews of the Quran. That's how he was. He used to come and read hadith. He said, read hadith on the battlefield. And then he goes and says, where has hadith never been read? They said, oh, Salahuddin, hadith has never been read in the middle of the battle. He said, then I want hadith to be read to me while I'm there. I want to listen to hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single step of the way. This is Salahuddin Ayyubi, a warrior, mashallah, yet so kind, so gentle, so soft. They said anyone who came to him, anyone who came into his room, he always gave them a gift. He always gave him a gift. He would sell his property to give gifts to everyone he met, Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is the type of person he was. He's such an amazing person. When there was one Christian mother who came, who was crying and crying, saying, I can't find my son, I can't find my son, my baby is gone. He sent all the soldiers out. He said, look at all the towns, all the markets. See where this baby is. And he's crying so much, saying, find this child for this woman, subhanAllah. This is Salahuddin Ayyubi. His enemy on the battlefield was this man named Richard, one of the greatest of the knights of the crusades. And so he used to find out when Richard was sick, he used to send him mitai and sweets to make sure he was feeling better. This is Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah ta'ala. People don't know him the way he was. He, at the time, they said about him that his whole life, mashallah, he said, for years, I've never missed salah in jama'ah. For years, I never missed salah in jama'ah. This is the type of person. He said, I never missed salah in jama'ah. And he even to the point that he said, one time I missed tahajjud and I made it up in the morning. This is the type of person he was. He said, I never missed it. This is the only time I made it up, subhanAllah. This type of individual, mashallah, his ibadah, his character, his ikhlas, everything. This is the man who Allah will give Jerusalem to. This type of person, that when he conquered the city and then the Christians came to attack again, where was he the whole night? Ibn Shaddad mentions, rahimullah, the historian. He said, I was good friends with Salahuddin Ayyubi. So I saw him at nighttime. He was crying and crying and crying. His beard was wet with tears. And he would cry and cry. I said, Salahuddin, it's after midnight. Let's go to sleep. He said, you go to bed. And so then Ibn Shaddad goes to sleep. And he rests and he wakes up. And he says, Salahuddin, when he wakes up, he sees Salahuddin washing his face And he says, Salahuddin, well, how'd you spend the night? He said, I couldn't sleep a single night, a single moment. I was up in ibadah the whole night. Then Salahuddin was told, Ibn Shaddad, he said, how can I get my, he says, how can I get my dua accepted? Salahuddin says, how can I get my dua accepted? Ibn Shaddad said, it is Jummah today. Between the Imam coming and the Sunnahs, pray two extra rak'ah. And in those two extra rak'ah, make strong dua before Allah because it's the time of acceptance. Make that dua. So he makes that dua. They say they saw Salahuddin's face crying and tears, wet with tears. He's making this dua. And because of this, all the Christian armies, they all ran away. They fled because of the dua of this individual. This is what you call a person of sabr. When Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimallah, when you have sabr, you're always in control. When you have sabr, you're always in control. This is how we know a person not has sabr. Because outside he shows he's sabir. When he gets back home, what to Firaun ban gaya. He becomes Firaun at home. Where did the sabr go? Sabr, the Prophet said, Laysa shadid bis sur'a. A man is not strong by wrestling. Innama shadidu ladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab. A true man, when he gets angry, he can control himself. That's a strong man. So then what happens? Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah, he conquers Jerusalem. These are the people in Jerusalem, the crusades that used to take babies and swing them like this and smash them onto the walls. These are the crusaders that came in. They said when the crusaders came into Jerusalem, they slaughtered so many Muslims. The horses were knee-deep in blood. Could you imagine? This is the type of place that the Muslims had to suffer from. So Salahuddin Ayyubi comes into Jerusalem. Oh ho! How much anger would you have in your chest? How much boiling fear, rage would you have? This is what happens. People have anger against these Israeli people and things like that. You must control yourselves. Control yourself. So Salahuddin Ayyubi says, today is not the day of anger. Today is the day of mercy. So then they have the entire city as prisoners. He goes and tells the archbishop or the patriarch, the highest priest. He says, you can free 1,000 people. Choose anyone you like, you can free them. He goes up to the rulers of the Romans of the time. And he goes and says, whatever people you want to free, you can free them. And so they free 1,000, another 1,000. So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah says, this guy freed 1,000. This guy freed 1,000. Now it's my turn to show you how generous I can be. So then he goes and frees all the women, all the children, all the old men, everyone. He says, all you are free to go. So Salahuddin Ayyubi, he put up soldiers on every single street in Jerusalem. He said, no one is allowed to harm a single soul. Do not let anyone insult a Christian. If they do, they come to me and they will face justice. This is a man who's honored by Allah to conquer a land. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shows us this. Fathu Makkah, you don't understand. Brothers and you and I are going to small little suburb. Wait, my wife told me to go get some milk. Wait. This is our suburb. Right? May Allah forgive us. My dad said something mean to me. This is our suburb. The suburb of Bilal, the suburb of Khabbab, the suburb of Ammar bin Yasir, the suburb of Sumayya radiallahu anha, the suburb of Aisha radiallahu anha, the suburb of Salama, every suburb of the Sahaba, 20 years, 20 long years of being abused by the Meccan people. And finally, the doors open of Fathu Makkah. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in. He's so humble, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's so humble, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know what animal he comes in on? They mentioned, mashallah, he either came in on a camel or a donkey. Very nice little humble, mashallah. He's come in, adorable. And who he has behind him? Sayyidina Prophet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has his grandson. If you remember correctly, his name is Ali radiallahu anhu, which is the son of Zainab. SubhanAllah, I think Nana, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi says Nana tha, right? So he like, if you're Nana, right? You guys probably know this better than me, but if you're Nana, you're like, oh yeah. Grandson with him comes everywhere. This is the conquest of, this is when you're supposed to take pictures, right? Right? When you conquer a city, right? This is when you're like, yo, it's me, man. It's me. And you show off like who you are, right? You show off who you are. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is coming in. He's like, make sure my grandson is with me. We're walking in, right? And how's the Prophet coming in? He comes in with his head like this. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming in like this. He said, Ya Allah, we did not deserve this. Sabr. This is how a person of sabr, when Allah gives you the solution. Ya Allah, we did not deserve this. And he goes and comes in like this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brings all the enemies, everyone. And he looks at the streets where Bilal used to be dragged on the streets. Khabbab used to be tortured. This man used to be abused. This person used to be spat at. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's own Mubarak face was spat at, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many things that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is remembering and visioning and everything. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walks into Mecca like this, in front of the Kaaba area, and he brings all the enemies before him. And he says, what do you think I'm going to do to you today? What is going to happen to you today? And they say, you are Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. You're a noble man, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Muhammad, you're a good man. Your father was a good man. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'll tell you what Yusuf Alaihi Wasallam told his brothers. Because this is the way of every sabit person. La tathriba, no harm on you today. Yaghfirullah lakum, may Allah forgive you. Just go. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is in the majma, and he says, I saw everyone, كَأَنَّمَا يُبْعَثُونَ مِنْ قُبُورِهِمْ, as if they all rose from the graves, because they all started getting up and taking shahada one by one. This is why I want to remind everyone, brothers and sisters in Islam, don't let your anger get the betterment of your iman. You are still a Muslim. If my Israeli brother takes shahada, he is my Muslim brother. If a Jewish person wants to support my Palestinian brothers, he is on my side. The Quran does not prohibit us from working with these people. We don't hate indiscriminately. You cannot do that. You will be hated by Allah Ta'ala, because Allah does not like dhulm from either side. If my Muslim brother or my non-Muslim brother is doing dhulm, I will hold that man on the hand and say, you cannot do this. This is what we have to remind everyone. When you take the amana of sabr into your heart, don't oppress, don't wrong anyone. Remember to be humble before Allah Ta'ala. I guarantee it, inshallah, whether we see it while we're alive or after we die. People are thinking the Mahdi is going to come tomorrow. We got like 50 Mahdis that came out like last week, Riyaz. But I'm telling you, I won't kid you not. The one person, while he's giving bayan, this woman comes and says, I don't know, the Mahdi. She goes and says, I'm the Mahdi now too, subhanAllah. I didn't know we had gender, mashallah, equality with the Mahdi, that he can be a girl now, subhanAllah. I didn't know that. Maybe there's a new sabak for me, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. People are waiting for the Mahdi. What if he doesn't come? What if the doomsday button is not pressed? People are waiting for Qiyamah button. They're waiting, they're pushing Qiyamah button. Maybe he's not coming now. Maybe Allah Ta'ala wants us to wait years afterwards. Allah Ta'ala says, either we show you what we're going to give them, or they will all die. I'll take you all. At the end of the day, who are you going? Where is everyone going? To Allah Ta'ala. The oppressor, the oppressed, everyone goes before Allah. And you cannot miss that day, that appointment with on Qiyamah. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask Allah, please make dua for afia. Don't make dua for sabr. Okay? Ask Allah Ta'ala for afia. And Ya Rab, if we go through a trial, then grant us the sabr that we need to pass the trial. Rasulullah saw one guy making dua, Ya Allah, I ask you for sabr, I ask you for sabr, I ask you for sabr. Allah, Nabi said, you just ask Allah for trials. Why would you do that? Because where can you show sabr? Only during a trial. So Rasulullah said, no, ask Allah for afia. I want afia too. Trust me, man, I'm a baby. I can't handle tests. SubhanAllah, you give me one thing, I'd start to cower in fear. No one wants to go through trials. But if we go through it, Ya Rab, give us the sabr that we need to pass these tests, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah grant us afia to our Muslim brothers in Palestine. May Allah grant them the strength that they need, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah grant us the strength, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah give us that tawfiq to see what it is as a test from Allah Ta'ala. May Allah increase our iman like He increased the iman of the Sahaba. May Allah make us that people that, mashallah, that Allah Ta'ala loves. May Allah make us from those that He's always with, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ij'alna min alladhin yuhibbuka, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make us from those that you love, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah grant us so much tawfiq, inshallah. I want to remind everyone, inshallah, just final last two things. The school committee meeting, right? Okay. The school committee meeting that we have on next Tuesday, is that right? Tuesday. So, because of the letter that was sent out by the superintendent that came out very, very misconstrued. I talked to that letter, people probably read, like, it almost made it seem like the in all of Islam was, like, subhanAllah. It's a very dangerous rhetoric that he used. He basically labeled one side as the criminal and the other one as the hero, And it's very dangerous. We know that there's issues on both sides. So keeping this in mind, subhanAllah, we tried to talk to him. It doesn't really come out. Even the rabbi here, I talked to her the other day. Rabbi Susan said that I tried to talk to him too, saying, because she's, mashallah, very much on our side too. You should know that. So she goes and says, I tried to tell him the message he's sending out is completely wrong. She said that you didn't word it right. Everything she tells him. The bichara didn't listen to her. So then after he gets all this heat, right, he comes to her and says, oh, what did I do? She said, I told you so, So subhanAllah, on the Tuesday, inshallah, there'll be a school committee meeting to discuss just the idea and the issue that's being brought up in the schools. Obviously, Islamophobia is on the rise, When this type of stuff happens, if you don't control the dialogue properly, you don't work towards peace, what's going to happen is people are going to get hurt, right? So in New York, for example, in Brooklyn, they tore off many girls' hijabs, right? Kids were being jumped, Palestinian kids are being jumped by different gangs, British, Jewish gangs, etc. And over here, subhanAllah, like one Zoom talk I was in, and subhanAllah, I got Zoom bombed in there. These kids came in saying, effing Muslims, whatever, whatever, The thing is that you incite violence when you do this type of stuff. My main thing is, my niyyah is, if you want to know why I want to go, what I want to say, my main thing is that, look, you as a teacher, you must teach fairly and clearly and show what history actually says. You cannot just teach one side, this side. If you do that, you're going to say one is the hero, the other one's a villain. And what's going to happen is ultimately people are going to be hurt and violence is going to be shed. This is what's going to happen to people. So you have to speak clearly. So having said that, inshallah, on Tuesday at 7 p.m., inshallah, there'll be a meeting for everyone. I encourage everyone, inshallah, to come and participate. So that way, inshallah, you can show that you're very serious about this matter. My thing is that Muslims, please, you have to organize yourselves. If you learned anything last week, learn for a fact that no one cares about you. The kafir that we tried to show our face to and be as nice and kind to, he doesn't care about us. The only one who cared about us is Rabbul Alameen. And you, my brothers and sisters, are my family, and I only care about you, really. So we have to work together here. If we don't build our own schools, if we don't build our own hospitals, we don't build our own places, all it's going to do is we're going to funnel money and money and money to help bomb the very people that we love so much, which are the Palestinian brothers and sisters. So my thing is, inshallah, that please work with me here. If you'd like to come, inshallah, please come 7 p.m. It's not going to be very long, inshallah, hopefully. And then we'll go home together, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, and secondly, inshallah, our beloved Hazrat Mufti Mushtaq Sahib is here. Alhamdulillah, he is, alhamdulillah, found a beautiful building for the madrasa, mashallah. Absolutely gorgeous building. He has all the details there. As you know, alhamdulillah, he's been managing Darul Arqam for so many years, mashallah. And finally, alhamdulillah, they have a beautiful home that they can call home. And so, subhanAllah, this is a sign that Islam is growing, mashallah. Islam is growing, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So I want everyone, inshallah ta'ala, to please give a humble donation. If you want to, inshallah ta'ala, for fi sabilillah, please, inshallah, go and go to Mufti Mushtaq Sahib's table, inshallah ta'ala, while you're waiting for dinner. And please provide something, inshallah ta'ala. Allah will reward you, give that ajr. Make the niyyah, inshallah, ya Allah, give me the sadaqah so I can help my Muslim brother and sister in Palestine. I want their afiyah, ya Allah. Allah, listen to these things, inshallah ta'ala. Sincerely give it, inshallah. May Allah grant us afiyah and tawfiq.